Okay, up next, questions with Sonia Barrett as we talk about her work, the holographic canvas, or how about some of your stories on manipulation, how people are trying to force others to do things that they just don't want to do. And welcome back. We'll take your calls, your stories. Sonia Barrett with us. Sonia, first of all, the holographic canvas, I assume people can get it everywhere?
Yes. You can even order it from the site, and generally I'm able to then sign it and send you a copy.
Super.
And that's spiritinform.com. So.
And we've got that linked for you, too.
Okay.
At Coast to Coast AM. When laws are passed to keep people in order, you know, to keep them from strain, you know, to keep some kind of a semblance of dignity in a civilization. But aren't some laws passed also to control?
Oh, absolutely. And of course, yes. Well, you know, all laws. Yes, I do understand that we do need to have some order. But why would we really need to do that if there wasn't a problem? There was something already a little bit off. Something is understood about human beings if they don't have restrictions, if they don't have boundaries. And that's really what law provides. Law presents boundaries. It doesn't matter, you know, what the laws are. They're all based on providing some boundaries within which we will operate. Law says these are the ground rules, and this is where you'll operate. And it's not just, obviously, the law. This is how it is for us through the entire course of the journey. Again, I go back to, yes, when we go to a job, we do have to have some order. But when we look at how everything is regulated, and then, we go to religion. With most religions, if you believe, if you start questioning outside of which would be the laws then of that religion, which would be the beliefs that are being taught, you could either get kicked out the church or there's a problem. So all of these things, even though order is necessary, we have to look at exactly how it restricts our thinking process. There is a boundary set around what we are allowed to think. How far out can we think? What is our perception base? All of these factors, all of it creates a limitation for us around our perception base. But you don't know that because you've been operating in that zone of limitation. So you don't even know that there's, you know, restriction around what you will perceive, what you will even consider as a possibility. And you've done, obviously, doing your show, George, you know, there are people that will say, oh, absolutely, that's absolutely impossible, especially when it comes to science. And I find that so fascinating that people will say that that's not possible. And we are so conditioned to be able to want to operate in a comfort zone where we want reality to be what's comfortable for us. And I think that's another factor that I looked at. We want reality to be only what we are comfortable with. So therefore, we say that what is not possible, because we are not comfortable with stretching our minds that far. Well, where is that coming from? Obviously, it's from the protocols, from the restrictions that's been placed on us through these various systems as to what you will accept as a possibility. And then there's where the secret societies systems like that then come into play. The average person, they feel, is not worthy, is not capable of understanding certain levels of information. That is how they view most of us anyway, as we're just not bright enough. And not only are we not bright enough, we are not deserving of this. This is not for us because we're not important. So you see the conditioning all the way around. So religion comes along and gives you these limitations, just like our legal system does, gives you these limitations, and we pass it on one generation to the next, and we just know we operate within those boundaries.
Okay, let's go to some of the phone calls. We'll go to Joel in New York. Welcome to the program, Joel. Thanks. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Joel. It's good to speak to both of you. Sonia, I just wanted to talk to you about the aspect of the condition you're speaking from right now. I see from a lot of the work that I've done, which is I would just label it transformational in nature. In other words, getting present to what stops us from the past and how to get present and powerful, is that there is unlimited potential in all of that. And yet I still feel like that I'm locked in certain places. I notice where I react in life on a regular basis. I know how it is. For instance, I'll give you an example. Right now, I'm involved, just went out a few dates with a woman who I find her quite attractive, actually. But I think certain aspects of it, my attraction, go from the fact that my mother died about a year ago, and she has a lot of the same qualities that she had. So I'm wondering, am I really totally attracted to this woman? And the other aspect is that as far as religion goes, she's Catholic, and I consider myself to be all about making the connections in life. I don't even want to call it spirituality anymore because I think it's such a buzzword that's been overused. I think what's important is that we all connect on the same wavelength.
How do you connect on the same wavelength? How does he do that, Sonia?
I'm sorry, how does he connect on the same wavelength? You're talking in terms of this person?
Yes.
First of all, I guess you're already asking yourself questions. If this is an authentic connection, or is it simply based on the fact that this person has qualities that is similar to this woman, obviously, that gave birth to you, that you're missing? So I think, one, you have to be able to really look at that and assess that. And that's not a good or bad thing either. That's fine. Now, as far as the religious aspect is concerned, that's something that, you know, I understand with people, but I started throwing that out. And the reason why I'm saying that is you've got to really begin to go from the heart. You've got to go from what you feel beyond religious beliefs per se. Because we don't all have to, when we connect with somebody in a relationship, we think that we have to be the same, but we really don't. Same doesn't really make us grow. A lot of times it's the opposite in certain ways that really help to stretch us in a relationship, not necessarily because we're exactly the same. I think that's a big misconception as well. So you go by the vibe, what you feel. Do you feel good when you're with the person? Is there joy when you're with the person? That's what you have to start going by. What do I feel? Do I feel alive when I'm with this person? Not so much, well, you know, she's Catholic, I'm Catholic. No, that's the programming. That is the programming that tells us that we have to be assigned to all these various religions. It's like we're assigned a doctor, we're assigned this, we're assigned that, we're assigned a political party. We need to start recognizing how we've been programmed to be assigned to a way of thinking. And then you get to yourself and you can feel truly, what do I feel outside of whatever her religion is? What do I feel when I'm with the person? That to me is going to align you and allow you to be with the person long enough to begin to see more and to feel more with that person.
All right, thanks, Joel. Next up, we go to Robin in Oklahoma, east of the Rockies. Hi, Robin, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I don't understand. Okay, my kids, my grandkids, I got the show Peter Pan, you know, the Mary Martin, and there's a line in it that says, it can be 1,000 miles away or right where you are. And I was trying to explain to them, you can be happy right where you are. You don't have to have all the stuff and everything. I know a guy that became a doctor. He's brilliant, but he's miserable, you know?
Well, money doesn't make everyone happy, that's for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, aren't we programmed? You know, you watch the commercials, you know, this will make you happy, that will make you happy. And I see a lot of unhappy people.
Maybe he didn't even want to become a doctor. that's another conditioning, too, because when, you know, growing up, it used to be, what, fireman, doctor, nurse? I mean, there's some certain ones, I think four of them, that kids automatically would gravitate to. Now, it's possible in one's family, as a child, we don't know what was said to that individual. And believe me, most people really are doing careers and jobs that really they're not necessarily passionate about, but they were told either they make a lot of money or it's a prestigious career or something like that. That is how deep the programming is, the social programming of success and failure. You know, those are the things that we are operating in. And, of course, items make you seem successful. The more things you're able to buy and, you know, price your things, so on and so forth, you know, that's the conditioning. So that's, you know, those are the things that we have to look at. Whether somebody's a doctor or a lawyer, it doesn't matter. They don't have to be happy because maybe they just didn't even want to do that in the first place. But they don't remember how they got programmed to have walked into those careers.
Okay, thanks for the advice. Let's go to Bill in Hawaii. Go ahead, Bill. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks, George.
Sure thing.
Yeah, I really can't say how much I agree with this. It's Sonia, right?
Yes.
Yep, sure is.
Yeah, I, you know, the society has, I went to a major university in the United States, and it's all about adapting you to the social mores and the ways to succeed in society. And I went about my life until I was about 36 in pretty much the very basic mode that I was taught and raised and programmed to be in. It's kind of, and I had a major cathartic event happen about that time when I was 36. And I started to take a look at my life, and I started to take a look at the way that I was moving in my life, and that I wasn't happy, that I was in a marriage that I wasn't happy with, and I was living a whole life that was a lie in relation to my heart. And that's one of the things that I really, really understand about what you're talking about, is that I was taught by a mentor of mine that it is about following your heart. But that takes a lot of digging to find out who you are and where you end up. My mentor, one time, there was a group of us that were all kind of being mentored by him, and we were living in the same place. And he put up on the bulletin board a card with a guy who was a one-man band playing on the streets of San Francisco somewhere, and he was playing a drum and a harmonica and all that. And it said underneath the card, "Suppose this is what follow your heart looks like." And that I learned from that it's each individual finds their own path.
Well, that's critical. I think each individual has to find their own path, Sonia.
Absolutely.
Some people, though, you know, can't do it on their own. So what do they do?
Well, it depends on what we're talking about. When we say find your own path, follow your own path, because I do consultations and I do work with people in looking at the first 6 years of their life. You know, we need to figure out if that person is ready, first of all, because this is the only way this conversation could even be taking place. That person there has to be something in them that's being questioned, and they're saying, I am not happy. Then you start to look at the childhood. You start, again, being honest with yourself. What is it I don't like about my life right now? Is it my job? Why don't I like my job? Okay, why am I still here? I mean, these are all basic questions you begin to ask yourself. Then you start to see, well, there's a fear. I'm kind of comfortable. I've been here for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Well, why am I still here if I'm miserable? Oh, I'm afraid to leave. Why? Because I was taught that I had to be responsible. I was programmed that for stability. Well, to you now, stability looks like this. Stability, regardless of how unhappy you are. So you start to look at the programming by examining the truth of how you feel right now, whether it be the relationship, as this gentleman just mentioned. Are you unhappy? People stay in those relationships because they become a habit as well. They're miserable. So you have to be honest with yourself as to how miserable you are. So it's not that the person can't do it on their own. They just have to stop and acknowledge that this is really how I feel. It doesn't matter that we see it for them. They have to be the one, because we can't fix anything for them. We can't sit there all day telling them, oh, you should really look for another job. It doesn't work that way. They have to get to that point where they are fed up enough because they've examined the truth of where they're at. And then, only then can real change take place.
Let's go to Joe in Boston, Massachusetts, where we will be on RKO 680 AM starting Tuesday night, the big station. Hey, Joe, go ahead. Hey,
good morning, George. Good morning, Sonia. How are you?
Hi, Joe.
A couple of questions, George. We're glad you're back in Boston. You've got to come up here and visit someday and do the show.
Oh, well, and then I can see all my relatives, too.
Yes. Sonia, is your book in audio? And I want to ask you another question.
Yes, it is an audio as well. It's also audio.
Good. A lot of books aren't, because I don't have my reading software. I've had computer trouble. What do people like me do who are disabled, who've had bad breaks and who've fallen through the cracks and just haven't really made it? I mean, if I were successful, I know I wouldn't be greedy. I've learned the hard way of some things. But I ask this question because, you know, you're taught just to accept the Bible. Don't challenge anything. Do what the doctor says. You can't do this. You can't be near your friend when he's dying. And that's when you need to be near your friend. And then this, you know, they're sitting in these waiting rooms and they're crying. It's terrible. If people knew what was going on, they wouldn't like it, but at least they would be near people. And I see this all the time when I watch these medical shows. Some hospitals are very good. You're right there. You try and help the doctor. He asks all kind of questions, but sometimes they make it and they don't. And you're just taught just to go along and don't challenge anything. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like in the religious, if you don't agree with this, you won't make it in heaven. I think that's a horrible thing. I think if you're a good person and you understand some of it, not just accept, I think that some way God will work it out. And what's your take on this? I'd like to have your views.
On the religious aspect of it, or just in terms of, you know, what can an individual do like yourself? Is that what you're saying?
Both things, the religious aspect and what can people like myself, because people look at us differently because we're visually impaired, and about how you just have to go along and don't challenge anything. That's the way we were brought up.
Well, I think that, okay, that's the first thing. I mean, the fact that you recognize the don't challenge anything, then you've got to start examining how you've lived your life in not challenging any, you know, certain situations, if you haven't challenged them. How did you feel when you didn't challenge them? Why is it that I didn't challenge them? What was I taught as a child? What did I see in my house? What did I see in my home? Where did that come from? You start to examine that. And in terms of the religious aspect, we have to keep remembering, we are given stories. We are given a pamphlet of reality in terms of what to believe, if you know, in terms of God, how we define God. We have to keep remembering that somebody handed this information to us and said, okay, there is a place that's a heaven and there's a place that's a hell. Now all you have to do is do these things, whether accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal savior or be a good person. You know, whatever the case may be, that's how you're going to go to heaven. So that's the first thing you must understand, you must realize, is you are then operating by some information that somebody has just passed down from one generation to the next. Now, I'm not saying that it's true or not true, but you must recognize that what you have is a belief system based on just simply what someone else has told you. You really have no true evidence of that. What you then needed to do is to really make your own inner connection, not just rely on this information that's been told to you, that's been regulating and manipulating your life. You have to begin to look at that, because you limit yourself behind worrying, not you specifically, but people limit themselves behind worrying that they may go to hell.
Sonia, we're going to come back and take some final calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. The Holographic Canvas, fusing mind and matter. Back with more in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Sonia, what do you mean by the healthcare matrix?
Well, it's some of what I touched on earlier in the sense of the conditioning that we have going on, and especially now with the big upheaval about healthcare. I think that people are so conditioned for ill health. And again, let me be clear, I am not saying that we don't need, some people won't need health care, but I think that we've gotten to a state where we are so dependent on the doctor. We're so dependent on quick fixes. We're just so dependent on medication for the most minute thing. Oh, I'm having a cold. I think I better go get some antibiotics. I think I better run to the doctor. And what I find so interesting is that the when people have health insurance, they feel that they really need to use it because, one, either they're paying for it or it's provided for them. They need to use it. So it's almost this thinking, this conditioning of needing to get sick somehow so that we can utilize it. So I see where people are caught in this whole health matrix where, again, they're controlled in the sense of what they're going to think when you start getting sick. What is it? After age 50, automatically, the ads gear towards that. But, you know, at age 50, you're age 50 or, you know, 50 and 80 or whatever the case may be, that's programming. That is programming. So people are programmed that when you work, say you work a job for 20 years or 25 years or however long you work it, you are looking towards making sure that you have health insurance. Because what? Because you automatically know, based on the program, that you are going to begin to fall apart at a certain age. And typically after you retire, you're thinking you're going to fall apart. Now, this might sound silly to some people, but you think about how you think. Just start thinking about that. Where is all of that coming from? It's all around. Billboards everywhere, passed on from one generation to the next, in the sense of when you will start breaking down. We are told when we should start looking at falling apart. And so there's such a control factor all the way through. So money is being made off of people from when they're little with the vaccines. A lot of that stuff is like time release capsules where those things, what we've got as a vaccine, especially for the kids today, those vaccines eventually later on in life become an issue, which then you get another medication that doesn't work too well. It becomes a chemical reaction with what you got, you know, 20, 30, 40, whatever it is, years ago. And then now you're dealing with all this chemical lab going on in your body from childhood all the way through till you're older. Here we go with the shingles. Same thing with the measles and the vaccine that people probably got or didn't get. Now you might be getting shingles. So now you have to take this medication. So it's like we get these vaccines to set us up for years from now, so that there's going to be money made off of people. You know, throughout the whole course of the journey, people are there for money to be made from them, and for us to completely be subjected to the system and be controlled in one way or another by the system.
Okay, back to the calls we go. Let's go to Santa Maria, California. We've got Gary west of the Rockies. Hi, Gary. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Yeah, hi, George. Thank you. This is a great program. I'm really enjoying it tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, Sonia, I wanted to ask you what you think about the teachings of Jesus. You know, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And in my life, it changed a lot once I started following what Jesus taught in the Bible. He taught us to praise God, you know, in all circumstances instead of complaining. And that really made a big difference in my physical and mental health and attitude. And also, we don't have to react to other people. He said to love your enemies. And that was really freeing. I didn't, when somebody was nasty to me, I didn't have to be nasty back. I could love them. And sometimes that kind of bothered him. So, so you know, it can also be rewarding. But I don't worry about anything. My physical, mental health are great, and it really changed my life to follow his teachings and try to live the way he told us is good for us. So I'm just kind of wondering if you think that this is maybe a good idea.
No, I think that there are definitely, absolutely some really great preachings that we can apply to our lives, and I do agree in terms of some of the things you said, you know, before, and what you were able to let go of, and the gratefulness. So I think those teachings go far and wide, even if we never put them in the context of a religion. I think you can still extract valuable content from it and live your life in a way that becomes stress-free, because that's what it sounds like to me, is that you utilize those teachings in a way that freed you, where you didn't feel that you needed to be these particular things anymore, and you didn't have to be angry with someone anymore. Now, I understand about loving your neighbors. I think that can be a very challenging one for many people, for most people, because I don't think that you can actually love your enemy then, unless you come into that space. And it sounds like you found such a freedom within yourself that you could do it genuinely. Well, most people can't. And so what we find is we get people who say, well, you know what, I just try to love everyone. But the truth is they don't really feel that way. They don't really love everyone. So I think for the individual, you have to really assess the truth of how you feel. And I think when you can accept that you're angry with somebody and that's how you really feel, I think then you have an opportunity to really then embrace the teaching on that level and then maybe release it enough to be able to understand that this person maybe have had some issues, some problems, whatever the case may be. Then you can maybe love the person. But it's done not from just a behavior or an idea that, oh, I'm loving my enemy, but you have to genuinely feel it where you've let go. And that's what it sounds like you've done. So I think if it's working for you, then I think that's what you need to follow. Anybody at all. There is no, I don't believe that there is a right way or a wrong way to go about life's journey, because for every action, there is a reaction. And if we are happy with the reaction that we're getting, the after effects from what we're doing, then that's where we end up having to be, in all honesty. If you are happy, if you can honestly say you're happy and it's working for you, then you follow that.
Absolutely. Well, you know what fascinates me the most, Sonia, of all this, though, is how people are manipulated to do things they don't want to do.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And that's just it. Then I think, depending on what the situation is, I think we have to then always stop and ask ourselves, well, at what cost? On some things, at what cost? We have to be conscious of when we are doing the things we don't want to do and just say, why am I honestly doing it? Now, if we're talking from the level where they don't even know that they're probably doing something that they don't necessarily want to do because they're in robot mode, that's a different story. But if you're conscious of the fact that I don't really want to do this, you've got to stop and ask yourself, then why am I doing it? What is the price? You know, what is the price? And sometimes we are not willing to go with the price, meaning you might not get that promotion. You might not be making that kind of money. You might not be able to live in that big house or whatever the case may be. You have to evaluate what it is that you think you're going to lose out on if you don't follow through. And that's if you're conscious of the choices you're making, as opposed to the people who robotically are just moving through doing what they're programmed to, what they've been programmed to do.
We've got May in Grand Rapids, Michigan now. Hi, May. Go ahead.
Hello, George. Hello, Sonia.
Hello.
Sonia, I have to say that you and I must have been born of the same mind and the same spirit, because I am right there with you. I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's been quite a journey for me. I'm almost 53 in a couple of weeks, and finally, when I just could not bear anymore this, I call everyone the good little soldiers, you know, this untruth that they walk in, you know, I had to quit my career, and become self-employed because I just couldn't work around the lies and the falseness anymore out in the world. And I have a couple of questions for you. One, it seems to me I'm now in a place in my life where I'm actually meeting other people who are like you and like myself, and that's been a whole lifetime coming. But I've not ever met any men who are truly open to this truth. Now, George is a different kind of person, but, I don't ever meet men like that or talk to them or even hear of them that are becoming open. So my first question to you was, do you think that women are becoming more open to truth first? And the second one is, with all of this understanding, what do you think the ultimate goal is for us in this life? I mean, because surely there is a point in this life for us to understand this truth, not only just beyond this life. Of course, there's ramifications that, you know, are beyond this life. But I also think, I mean, I have my opinion of the purposes for our lives here and now, and I just wanted to hear yours.
Well, in terms of our purpose in life, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I refer to much of the human experience as we are observing it or understand it to be. I see it as a level one or stage one human experience. And that simply means that we can go beyond this limiting concept or program of what we think it is to be human. We must understand that we've been living under a protocol of what it is to be human, a programming, like a blueprint of what it is to be human. But it doesn't mean that that's all there is to it. It does not mean that the next phase is only about going to heaven, or the next phase isn't just about, you know, dying. What if in this life, as we begin to release or more of the programs begin to fall away, and we begin to understand and to see more, what if we then have an opportunity to begin to shift into a more expansive level of being human? What if we are able to do that? Well, that's what I see. I see that that is what we are capable of doing beyond this limiting concept that we have of being human, which is from birth to death. We are programmed from about the birth to death process, and I see that we have an opportunity to go beyond that. But you can't go beyond that when you are being suffocated by the programs, the protocols by which we have been operating, that we're, you know, the limiting protocols. So there is more. And when it comes to purpose, I always say that everything about your life has been your purpose. And I think that's so important that we understand that, because everything that we have ever lived is a stepping stone. It's everything that we have been leads us to the next moment. Now, it depends on how we choose to embrace that, how we choose to see what the opportunities are there, because everything provides you with some sort of an opportunity. We have to begin to be able to see that, as opposed to just running around going, I'm trying to find my purpose. Well, your purpose is everything that you have lived. Now, when you stop and you go, okay, where am I right now? Okay, where can I go from here? And you start looking at the things that you're passionate about, and you start asking yourself, do I want to understand more about life? Do I want to understand more about what lies beyond this reality, this physical world, without waiting till you die? You don't have to wait till you die. That's a programming. There is a great science to life. There is absolutely, everything is a science. Everything is. And what we're dealing with is the expansion of consciousness, the expansion of our awareness. That's what's going to take us on a greater journey beyond what our eyes limit us to see. Our brains then begin to allow us to see beyond the perception, boundary perception that we've been living. The brain allows you to access more, and that's basically what's happening. The brain filters what we will experience based on what we've been able to accept as a possibility. So there is much more. We live in a sea of unlimited potentials. And I don't have anything against religion, but the one thing I always say, we must understand that most often religion can be a stepping stone, but you can also limit yourself because you're stuck in what you've been taught, and what you've been taught says this is what you believe. And if you want that to be final for yourself, then that's okay too. But for those of us who say, but I want to see more, Jesus did say, greater works than these shall you do. Well, how do you honor that? You honor that by asking those questions and stepping forward and saying, I want to know. And I think we'll see so much more. And that is all science.
You know, with all this, Sonia, with a question here before we're at the top of the hour, if people want to truly change and quit being sheep and follow people or to be scared, what do you think the best thing is that they can do?
Well, they have to be ready for change. That's another thing. You have to be ready for change. You have to make the commitment to yourself. Once again, as I said earlier, evaluate where you are right now. Evaluate how you see yourself as a sheeple. How have I been a sheeple? And then you begin to change how you respond to the program. You begin to change that, and you might feel a little bit alone for a minute there, but understand that it is okay to feel that. You don't have to have somebody there immediately with you when you're going through change, and not be afraid of change, because you're going to be wandering into the unknown. That's what we're scared of. And everything else is what? It's the known. Everything else has been handed to us in terms of what we're going to do, what we're going to believe. Now you're stepping outside of the sheeple zone. And understand this, yes, that is a responsibility. You're now responsible for yourself, and we don't know what change will bring. That's the other thing. When you change, it means the illusion that you've been living falls away, which means that everything about your life can begin to change. But when it changes, it doesn't mean that even though it looks like an earthquake to you, that it's going to be just absolute doom and demise. It means that the soil must be tilled. And those things that you've been standing on as a foundation must now shift into something new, which is the new ideas, new concepts, new beliefs that you're getting ready to now make your foundation. So you have to be able to ride it out and know that you will be okay.
That's the way to do it. We will be back with more with a little surprise on Coast to Coast AM.